Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We kick off tonight with a new man in the Vatican, Pope Francis, and he's quickly putting his own stamp on his role, leading the world's 1.2 billion Catholics. Today was his first news conference, and we found out why he is Francis, in the footsteps of St. Francis of Assisi, because of his work for the poor and peace, a man who also loved and cared for creation. Pope Francis wants to see, in his words, a poor church and a church for the poor. If he truly achieves that, there is much change ahead for the Catholic Church. And how about this? At the end of his news conference, the journalists gave him a standing ovation. And you know how tough that crowd is. Love to hear your responses tonight, your reaction to Pope Francis on 1300 40 2020. Already only days after he was chosen, there have been numbers of examples of that humility and his determination to do things differently. What might it mean for the Catholic Church to be a poor church and a church for the poor? Imagine both the price the church could pay, but also the possibilities. Do you think such a radical change is possible? Love to hear from you. 1300 40 2020. Share with us your thoughts. While you do, I'm so glad that the Catholic Church's most senior cleric in Australia at the moment, the president of the Australian Catholic Bishops Conference, Archbishop Dennis Hart from Melbourne, joins us. Archbishop, welcome to Open House.
It's wonderful to be with you, Lee, and it's a wonderful time for us in the Church too. We're very delighted with our new Pope.
I'm sure it is. Can I start by asking you about the range of your own emotions as you've seen the choice of this pontiff over these last few days?
Well, I certainly, at the time of Pope Benedict's retirement, there was a sadness. I'd been with him in January and we'd had a nice little talk. I felt that he was frail, but I didn't think that this was going to happen. And then for 2 weeks after his resignation, it's like the family hasn't got a father. You know, there's a sense of uncertainty and loss. And then in the days that the cardinals prepare for the conclave and go in to prepare to vote, the hope and the anticipation builds up, and there's a whole tremendous joy when we know we have a pope. In other words, here's someone that God's given us to look after us, to reach out to the people of the world as a figure of everything that leads us to Jesus Christ, everything that's good and everything that's really reaching out to the needs of people.
It's one of the questions I wanted to ask you, whether this Pope will bring, as a Jesuit, a renewed focus on Jesus in the Catholic Church.
Obviously, the great need of the world is to recover faith in God and to feel that God is near to each of us in our ordinary endeavours. Then in the Church, the great need is to focus on Jesus Christ, because he's the Lord of all. He's God who came to be one like us, and then through that wonderful journey of dying and rising again, gave us new hope and is the focus for, and the way in which we lead our lives until we're called back home to be with God. Now, Pope Francis was a Jesuit. The Jesuits were founded in the 1500s, and they were founded at a time when there were problems in the church and difficulties and that needed to be addressed. And Ignatius Loyola was a soldier, and therefore the Jesuit formation is very exacting and precise. Let me give you a couple of examples. Most religious orders do a one-year time of trial, or a novitiate, as it's called. The Jesuits do a two-year novitiate, and then they do studies in philosophy and theology, but they also do studies in other sciences. For example, Pope Francis taught literature and psychology before he was ordained. So, in other words, you've got an order that has a profound spiritual formation. They are called the Society of Jesus. Their focus is always on Christ and his invitation to them. And then you have men who have a very well-developed and well-rounded human formation in the terms of the studies they've done and the experiences they have. So I think this fits him uniquely to be the Pope at this time. even then, when you look at his career as a Jesuit, he was for quite a time the novice master, the one who trained the young Jesuits in their spiritual formation, particularly in that time of trial. He's also was the leader of the Jesuits in Argentina for 6 years in the 1970s. And then, of course, we go on to the fact that he's been Archbishop of Buenos Aires, but still has preserved a simplicity of lifestyle, an engagement with ordinary people, an awareness of their needs, and yet a focus which is spiritual. Coupled with that, there is international experience. He's a member of three or four offices in the Holy See in Rome. And therefore, you've got a man with a spiritual focus on Jesus Christ. You have a man with a great Jesuit rounded formation, huge experience at home and abroad, and he's kept that beautiful, simple approach to people.
And in his homeland of Argentina, which has been described as a tough school for a priest and ultimately archbishop, it has given the world a formidable man as Pope.
Yes, I think so. People have asked me all sorts of questions, you know, will there be lots of changes or will our beliefs and doctrines change? And I've said, look, we have to live what we have received from Jesus Christ, what the Church has taught, and the Pope is the guardian of the things that flow from Scripture and flow in our tradition. Certainly, his teaching will be traditional Catholic teaching, his upholding of the dignity of each human person, of the beauty of marriage, of the truths of faith, but I am sure that he'll do it in a beautiful, engaging way.
In only his first few days, much has been both said and seen about his humility.
That is something which really draws him to people, because after all, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We are nothing. We're like the servants in the gospel. We're only servants. We've done no more than our duty. So the lordship of Christ and the fact that Jesus Christ is the central focus means that every gift we have is something we've received, whether it's from God or whether it's from what we've learnt from other people. So we are enriched, and therefore we can be very humble in offering our gifts as a church to serve the people of the world.
Can I ask you about one thing he said at his very first Mass a couple of days ago before the cardinals who elected him? He said, "Our life is a journey. If you stop, nothing will work." From that, should we prepare ourselves for an activist pope, do you think?
Look, I think he has considerable challenges, but I'm sure he's recognised as a confident leader and yet a very humble one. He's recognised as someone who knows how to govern. He's recognised as a man of genuine holiness. And I think they will be the three characteristics which are there. To use the word activist, obviously he will teach, obviously he will lead by deed and example, as he did as a bishop, and I think they'll be the things from which people will draw confidence and draw encouragement.
Yes, he's already warned the Church about it becoming purely a compassionate NGO, non-government organisation, without spiritual renewal.
And that's right, because our faith, our concentration on God's word in the scriptures, on the person of Jesus Christ, is so that we are enriched by what God has given us, and then we can become a leaven in the world. We each of us has a definite, Cardinal Newman said, God has created me to do him some particular service. That means each of us has a mission, and I think he will encourage, stimulate, at times I'm sure even challenge the Church, all of us, to remember and to fulfil that mission.
Yes, one commentator has said there'll be a few Vatican officials feeling concerned because Francis is so passionate about social justice and the poor, but also reducing bureaucracy. Will there be some worried people perhaps in the Roman Curia?
Well, I was in Rome in January and I spoke with the officials in 20 different Vatican departments. They work very hard. They're tremendously dedicated. And I think we shouldn't exaggerate you know, the stories that we hear coming about people's failures and all that sort of thing. That being said, obviously the Pope will give direction to the Curia by his style of governance. I'm sure he'll keep it effective and as simple as possible.
It's inevitable that he'll also have to deal with the scandals of child sexual abuse. How will this Pope respond to that, Archbishop?
I think he will encourage the bishops in the local areas, because they have to do most of the work. He will certainly encourage and support them and lead in a clear, very clear way to show that this kind of criminal activity has no place either in the church or in society. And he'll give clear leadership on that matter.
So how should Christian people around the world be praying for this new Pope Francis, Archbishop?
I think it's very important for us to remember the Pope in prayer. I know when I was asked to be Archbishop, and I only have 1.1 million Catholics in the Archdiocese of Melbourne, I'm tremendously supported by the prayers of people. And sometimes in difficult times, people ring me and say, look, don't be afraid, we're with you. The knowledge that people are supporting the Pope in his work to make us holy, to teach us, to lead us to Jesus Christ and to draw us to each other, I'm sure that the prayers of people, that the Pope will fulfill the mission that Jesus has given him, so that Christ will be more strongly present in the world through his words and actions, will be a tremendous support to the Pope. And normally, when I go to Rome and I see the Pope, I tell him of the love and prayers of the people of Melbourne. And yesterday I wrote to the Pope on behalf of the people of Melbourne and also on behalf of the Australian bishops, of which I'm president at the moment, to express that love and that prayer.
Can I ask you at a personal level, as a man yourself who bears the burdens of your position, when you see Pope Francis, how do you feel for him about the burdens he now bears?
I realise what a huge burden Pope Francis bears, and what a huge burden Pope Benedict and Pope John Paul II, both of whom I knew, bore. I assure him of our love, our support, and I thank him for all that he's doing for the church and for people. And, you know, the office is so much bigger than the person, whether it's the Pope, whether it's a bishop in his diocese, whether it's a priest or a leader in a school. The office and people's expectations of the office are so much bigger than ourselves, and we realise what abilities we've got, but also what faults we've got. And we try humbly to fulfil the office. And that's supported tremendously by prayer and by the goodness of the people we have around us.
Archbishop Dennis Hart, very grateful for you joining us on Open House. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Lee, and God bless you and all your listeners. I think the Word of God, the person of Jesus Christ, and the faith that we have that God is near to us in our lives is just so important.
Archbishop, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.